The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. It's hot outside, so grab a tall glass of lemonade and check out this month's episode of Tech Tips. Nanobars, restoring vision for folks suffering from macular degeneration. Access Explorer, indoor wayfinding app. Google's Sodar social distancing app. And a review of food delivery services. All that's coming up on this hot episode of Tech Tips. Here's an article about how billions of tiny gold flecks could help restore vision and treat blindness. The title of the article, Gold Nanobars Absorb Heat of Near Infrared Light, Helping to Repair Damaged Retina Cells. It's written by Tom Bowden of iNews. Scientists have come up with an extraordinary treatment for blindness that involves injecting 10 billion small flecks of gold into each eyeball. They are hopeful that the technique could be available within a decade, although they caution that much more work is needed to determine if the process is safe and effective. Experiments on mice showed the technique effectively restored sight in mice with macular degeneration, a leading cause of blindness. It will now be tested on humans in a huge clinical trial. We are very excited indeed by our findings, said Daniel Hiller of the German Primate Center in Göttingen. We believe that near-infrared stimulation is an important step towards providing useful vision to blind patients so that they can regain their ability to read or see faces, said Dr. Hiller. The technique involves implanting billions of gold minuscule nanobars into the retina. These capture near-infrared light rays, absorbing their heat and slowly releasing it into the eye. The heat makes the damaged photoreceptors vibrate, and that movement helps them bind with functional genes delivered to the retina at the same time through a separate injection, and sight is restored. We want to give hope to blind people with these findings, and will further intensify our research activities in this area. We have also demonstrated this method in cultured human retinas, that means in the lab, so the next step is clinical trials, said Dr. Hiller. The good thing is that the core component, the delivery system for the functional genes, is already approved for clinical use. Therefore, I expect the human trials to be relatively straightforward, he said. Macular degeneration is one of the major reasons for visual impairment, with nearly 200 million people affected worldwide. Photoreceptors in the retina are responsible for capturing the light. Diseased photoreceptors lose their sensitivity to light, which can lead to vision impairment or even complete blindness. If you would like to know more about this study, it is published in the journal Science. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Indoor wayfinding with Access Explorer from American Printing House for the Blind. One step forward. This article is written by Bill Holton, and it comes to us courtesy of Access World Magazine. Remember the first time you went to the airport alone? Somehow, you made it to the ticket counter where they summoned a helpful assistant who gave you a choice. Ride in a wheelchair to the gate, despite the fact you have two perfectly operational feet, or ride on the ding-ding machine, traveling approximately 2 miles an hour past the smells of coffee, Cinnabons, and all other sorts of treats you can't stop to enjoy. And heaven forbid you have to use the restroom. These days, using GPS navigation and one of many accessible wayfinding apps, it's not only possible but relatively easy to find and catch a bus or rideshare downtown, reorient yourself, and use a cane or guide dog to make your way to the front steps of City Hall, the local science museum, or the airport. Of course, all this accessible navigation usually ends at the front door of your destination, and you either have to memorize ahead of time the route you need to take or ask for help getting around inside. GPS signals don't travel well inside buildings, and even if they did, without adequate mapping, the signals are all but worthless. Over the years, there have been many attempts and approaches to offer indoor wayfinding. One of the very first involved Dead Reckoning, says Mike May, founder of Sendero Group, one of the first developers of accessible navigation and wayfinding. You would start from a known position, and then your steps would be tracked using a compass and your position updated. According to May, the trouble with this system is that you needed expensive, high-end compasses, and many errors were magnified the further you traveled. Other indoor wayfinding efforts were made using broadcast radio and TV signals, Wi-Fi signals, RFID chips, and even unique optical signals emitted by fluorescent light tube ballasts. One of the first real breakthroughs in indoor wayfinding came with the arrival of beacons from Apple. The beacons transmit an RF signal that apps can use to determine location and other information via Bluetooth. We had great hopes we could piggyback on these signals and use them to help map indoor spaces, says May. Unfortunately, beacons have not yet reached the necessary critical mass of popularity. McDonald's did not broadcast dollar burgers to people walking past the store, and when I visited an Apple store, none of the employees even knew how they worked, says May. The public wasn't asking for them, so venues and companies were reluctant to make the investment. According to May, two of the beacon's strengths also turned out to be two of their greatest weaknesses. They are small, inexpensive, and battery-powered, so they don't need a nearby power source. Also, the technology is still evolving at a rapid pace. May works remotely from his home in Wichita, where 3 years ago, the city installed 500 beacons marking bus stops. Now, 3 years along, the batteries are running down, and the question is, do they replace the batteries or update to newer technology beacons? And if they do, do they stick with the batteries or spend the extra money for direct power connections? It's not uncommon for technology originally introduced to the public at large to become modified and made accessible to those with visual impairments. GPS navigation itself was such a technology, as are the accessible computers and smartphones most of us rely on for our education and employment. But it also works the other way around. A technology or modification originally designed for the disabled turns out to offer value to the general public. Curb cuts originally introduced for wheelchair users are loved by parents pushing strollers. Computer dictation was a godsend to people suffering from repetitive stress injuries. But these days, it's everywhere. And what about text-to-speech? Optical character recognition technologies, both of which were originally developed for the benefit of the blind. Since the early attempts at wayfinding beacons didn't inspire public demand, a number of companies and entrepreneurs began coming at the problem from the opposite, more traditional direction, developing the technology for people with visual impairments and then seeing where things went. This is why the American Printing House for the Blind recently spun off its Nearby Explorer assets into a new for-profit company called Access Explorer. Our goal is to make indoor wayfinding both cheaper and more available for the blind, while at the same time offering value to the sighted community as well, says May, who recently joined the Access Explorer team as chief evangelist. The company now offers to map and tag indoor venues, such as airports, government buildings, and other facilities where accessibility is a mandated concern. Hopefully, other places will begin to see the benefits and begin offering wayfinding also, says May, who notes that the blind aren't the only ones who might need to know where the nearest bathroom is located or how to get from here to gate 25 in the airport. After that, it's just a matter of a few small steps from Siri, where is baggage claim, to Siri, where in the store can I find that set of towels that I heard was on sale? As part of their investment, APH has transferred their Nearby Explorer and the free Nearby Explorer Online to the new startup. Already, it includes indoor wayfinding where available. One of the new company's pilot projects is at the Louisville Airport. You can take a virtual tour right now. There are several different companies working on indoor wayfinding, including Blind Square, a popular wayfinding app for the blind that also offers indoor navigation for several airports and other facilities where beacons have been installed and properly tagged. Hoping to avoid inconsistencies across different systems and apps, the Consumer Technology Association recently released a set of best practices and voluntary standards for the implementation of this technology to guide app developers and owners of indoor locations such as airports, railway stations, convention centers, and museums. The CTA standard will help us create the same set of audio instructions for accessing a metro train or bus, whether the individual is in Washington, D.C. or Los Angeles, says David Schaefer, Access Policy Officer of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority and member of the committee that established the guidelines. To learn more about the standards or visit the Consumer Technology Association website, visit them at cta.tech. Listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Somebody once said, "May you live in interesting times." Well, we can all agree that these are definitely interesting times. One of the hardest things for a person with visual impairments to deal with is probably, how do you know when you're 6 feet apart? Guess what? Google's got an app for that. The title of this article is Google's latest augmented reality app tells you if you're staying 2 meters away from other people. This article comes to us courtesy of Cool Blind Tech. Google has launched an experimental social distancing app that uses augmented reality to help you keep the recommended 2 meters away from other people when you're outside. SODAR, short for Social Distancing Radar, is a web-based app that displays footage from your phone's camera and superimposes a 2-meter-wide circle around your device so you can easily see if you're too close to others nearby or if you could shuffle a little bit closer. There are a few drawbacks, however. The tool is only available for Android devices, so iPhone owners, you're out of luck. And it will only work in Google Chrome. To use SODAR, you'll first need to install Google Play Services for AR, formerly known as AR Core. This will allow you to use all kinds of augmented reality tools on your phone, and automatic updates mean you won't need to download extra software as the technology matures. Now, visit the SODAR website and confirm that you'd like the app to create a 3D map of your environment and track camera motion. According to Google, your camera's images won't be transmitted anywhere. They are only used on the device itself. You'll be prompted to point your phone's camera at the floor and move it around, after which the 2-meter circle will appear superimposed on the screen, with a patterned overlay indicating your personal space. SODAR is quite simple, and unlike a virtual reality headset, it doesn't take into account furniture and other objects when mapping your space. However, it is a handy tool to have available, particularly when you're doing essential shopping or talking to a friend and want to ensure you're keeping your distance. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. This article was originally recorded in late 2019. I decided to rerun this article considering that now food delivery services are almost a necessity. So, from 2019, here's a review of several food delivery services. It's lunchtime and you've got a serious craving for some Chick-fil-A. There's just one small problem. You can't get there. Well, there are various food delivery services that can bring it right to your door. And this article comes to us courtesy of Access World Magazine, and it's called The Hunger Pains, a review of DoorDash, Grubhub, Postmates, and Uber food delivery apps. It's written by J.J. Madow. It's 9 o'clock, and you've been way too busy to even think about dinner. Now you're starving and just want to get some food as quickly as possible. In the past, this situation may have led to ordering a pizza or some subpar Chinese food, often the only options available for delivery. But this is 2019, and an expanding category of food delivery apps has emerged to offer just about any food imaginable delivered within the hour. In an attempt to help solve this question of what's for dinner, I undertook the terribly onerous task of ordering lots of food in order to research this article. It's a hard job, but someone had to do it. In order to find out who was the best at delivering the bacon, I focused on four of the most popular meal delivery apps and services, each of which allows you to order from a variety of restaurants: DoorDash, Grubhub, Postmates, and Uber Eats. These apps are some of the largest players in the restaurant delivery space and also have the most nationwide coverage. Even if your favorite isn't covered here, many of the tips and recommendations in this article will also apply to other food and restaurant delivery apps. The basics. Food delivery apps operate under a basic premise. You use an app or a website to browse a restaurant menu and choose the items you like. After you place your order, it's relayed to the restaurant. The restaurant prepares your order while a driver is dispatched to pick up your food. The effectiveness of this approach varies wildly, and the results can range from receiving your items within 15 to 20 minutes to finding out a half hour later that the restaurant no longer carries the item you ordered. The sign-up process for each of the sites is quite simple and involves providing your phone number or email address along with some basic information, such as your delivery address and any special instructions for finding your place. Payment information is collected when you order and can be saved for future meals. Each of these apps will offer some sort of bonus for signing up, such as a free delivery or a few bucks off your first order. If you have a friend who has ordered from a service before, ask them to send you an invitation, and then both of you can save a few dollars on your next meal. As you will see below, it's advantageous to use multiple services if you are going to regularly order delivery, as pricing and promotions will vary from week to week. If you've never ordered food using an app before, the process is very similar to online shopping, with your items being added to a cart as you browse. Restaurants are usually listed by category or feature, or may be suggested based on your prior orders. Most services will show you the delivery fee up front, with places that are closer to you featuring a lower fee. Not all restaurants are available on all services. For example, Uber Eats and Grubhub partner with specific restaurants that choose to join the service to provide a more seamless experience. Once you have selected a restaurant that you are interested in, you will be shown their menu. Popular items and dishes you've already selected before may be highlighted. Once you select an item, you may be given the opportunity to customize it. For example, if ordering a burger, you might be asked about desired toppings, side items, or if you want a bun. Once you are satisfied with your order, you check out by entering in your payment details and any other special instructions. You also have the opportunity to leave a tip directly on this screen, though you could also choose to tip cash when the driver arrives. While on the checkout screen, pay attention to the various fees that are being charged. These can easily add up and make the entire experience cost prohibitive, especially for a single user. Often, the fees will be grouped under a single item, such as delivery fees, $8.63. Selecting this item will often expand this display to show a breakdown of all of the fees that are included. Some of the charges you may see include a delivery fee for the order itself, ranging from a couple of bucks to $7.49 or more. A service fee based on the items in your cart, often a percentage of the total bill. A low order fee, typically $2 for orders under $10 before fees. A surge or busy fee in case where there is a high demand for delivery and not enough drivers, similar to surge pricing or primetime fees from Uber and Lyft. Your tip for the order, many of the other fees do not get directly passed on to the driver. As you can tell, it's quite possible for a small order to be dwarfed by lots of extra charges. I ordered a delicious-sounding Western barbecue and bacon steak burger from Steak and Shake, which was listed at $5.29. After the delivery service and low order fee, as well as a modest tip, the total was well over $15. This is one reason why I will often bounce between delivery apps, as I can often find a promotion available that will counteract some of these charges. Once your order has been placed, the anticipation from your stomach begins. Thankfully, the apps generally do a good job of keeping you updated as to the progress of your food. You will typically be informed when your food has been prepared, when your driver has been sent, and ultimately what time your food will arrive. If there is a problem with an item on the menu, an occurrence more common with DoorDash or Postmates because of outdated menus, your driver or company worker will contact you to discuss alternatives. Once you are alerted or noticed that your food is about to arrive, it's best to be outside of your building or location to meet the driver. Their goal is to deliver as many meals as possible, and meeting them at the vehicle or door will expedite this process for the driver. It's similar to locating your Uber or Lyft driver. The apps will offer a way for you to contact your driver and help you to locate the vehicle if at a location with a lot of traffic or cars pulling up. Since the entire transaction is handled on the app, there is no receipt to sign or fill out. You only need to take the food from the driver and enjoy. This would not be a complete Access World article without talking about the accessibility, or lack thereof, of the four apps. As I said earlier, I have successfully ordered a variety of items from all of these services with varying amounts of ease and frustration. Uber Eats seems to be the one service that has initially paid attention to the accessibility of their mobile apps. On the iPhone, the app makes considerable use of the custom actions in the VoiceOver rotor. This allows you to swipe right and left or move between restaurant categories, and then swipe up and down to move through items in each category. This approach is a bit unconventional when compared to using headings and other simpler forms of navigation, but it was easy to follow once I got used to it. While the Android app lacks advanced navigation options, such as headings on a restaurant menu, it too was not difficult to follow and ordering was simple, with all major buttons and controls labeled properly. While I was able to order food from the other three services, they all exhibited a variety of accessibility quirks and took some time to get used to. DoorDash includes a variety of unlabeled buttons, and it was difficult to scroll around the list of restaurants. Grubhub on Android somehow managed to actually make the names of restaurants and food items hidden to screen reader users entirely, covering them up with useless text and descriptions. Postmates on the iPhone made it really difficult to browse among restaurants, with many scrolling and navigation issues present throughout. That being said, all of these services are usable with practice, and the availability of a restaurant or a deal on a particular app may make it appealing on any given night. All of these apps also featured websites where you can place an order instead. Here, Grubhub is the easiest to follow, and you can browse through restaurants and menu items using headings on your screen reader of choice. The DoorDash website was also relatively simple to use when browsing menus and ordering. Another nice accessibility implication of these services is how they increase the availability of accessible restaurant menus. While not all menus will be 100% current or accurate, an online menu can help you figure out what types of food are available from a restaurant and the expected price range. Thanks to these and other websites, I've now been able to flip the script and be the person reading the menu to the table at a restaurant instead of a sighted friend or colleague. One area that could be improved on for all these services is the screen that shows the location of your driver. As you might expect, this is usually conveyed using a map, which is not usable for users who are blind or visually impaired. While the estimated delivery time is usually available, having a way to know where the driver is at any given time would improve the experience, especially when trying to direct them to a hard-to-find location. While delivery services can offer extreme convenience, it's worth deciding if the added cost is worth it. I could have the same sandwich shop that is 4 blocks from my house deliver my dinner, or spend 5 minutes walking each way and pick it up myself for much less money. It's easy to get into the habit of letting food delivery replace grocery shopping, going out to eat, or even leaving the house at all. This can potentially lead to both social isolation and financial stress. On the flip side, these services can help people in cities with inadequate public transportation or few easily walkable options, and may make it easier to enjoy a wider variety of restaurants. For busy professionals or families, they can give you more time to get things done or to be with loved ones. Delivery apps have expanded to towns and cities large and small and are eager for your business. This has led to an opportunity to try new restaurants and cuisines and basically get just about anything you desire brought to your door. While the accessibility of most of these services could be spiced up, these apps can still go a long way to offering an easy answer to the question of, what's for dinner tonight? The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. The North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life. Run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. Be sure to tune in next month. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And as always, thank you for listening to Tech Tips.